Well, let us continue to worship our Savior and survey his wondrous cross by looking into his written word as it comes to us in our New Testament lesson, John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17, as we continue in our Sunday morning series in the Gospel according to St. John, and as we continue in this portion of John's Gospel, what we call the Upper Room Discourse, the teachings that Jesus gave to his disciples on the night when he was betrayed, the night before he would go to Calvary and offer himself on that cross, the cross on which the Prince of Glory died in order to atone for our sins. So let us give our attention to his word, John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our friend, and that through you we are called friends of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our comforter and the one who takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. We pray that you would do that even now as we look into your holy word. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in my wife's favorite movie of all time, Anne of Green Gables, which I have to admit is pretty good. Maybe not the best, but it's good. It's good. But in that wonderful movie, Anne Shirley grew up longing for a best friend. She had an imaginary friend, as many children do, but she wanted a real friend to share her life with. Her desire was finally granted when she met Diana Barry, who became her best friend, bosom buddy, and kindred spirit. Everyone longs for such a friend. My question to you today is, who is your best friend? And what I want us to see this morning is that Jesus Christ is the best friend that any of us can have. As we prepare to meet with our best friend at the table of communion, let me give you three reasons why Jesus is the best friend that you and I can have. First, Jesus is the best friend that we can have because he is a selfless friend. He's a selfless friend. As Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Why does Jesus Christ have so many friends? Think about it. Over all the generations since his coming, over all the world, populating the glories of heaven, innumerable friends Jesus has. Why does Jesus have so many friends? It's because he is so very friendly. He is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is that friend who loves selflessly, sacrificially, putting the interests of his friends over his own, even to the point of laying down his life for them in love. Notice again verse 13, where Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." This is the epitome of true friendship. This is the incarnation of God's friendship. This is the love that melts hearts, mends relationships, and remakes the world. This is Jesus Christ himself. And surely learned what a joyful thing it is to give of what you have in order to bless your friend and bring joy to them. She once said, "I can give Diana half my chocolate, can't I? The other half will taste twice as sweet to me if I give some to her. It's delightful to think I have something to give my friend." That is something of the heart of Jesus Christ for his friends. As Paul put it in Galatians 1:4, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. And as Paul put it in Galatians 2:20, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus is the self-giving friend. He is the friend who befriends and forgives and rescues even his enemies, those who had rebelled against his heavenly Father, those who were by nature at enmity with him, those who had no thought of him and were lost and on their way to eternal judgment. The Pharisees and the scribes derided Jesus. They thought, "What's the worst thing we could say about him?" They called him a friend of sinners. They said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Unwittingly, the scribes and the Pharisees were proclaiming the gospel. Isn't God amazing how he does that kind of thing? They were trying to run down Jesus, but actually they were exalting Jesus. They were proclaiming the glories of his grace. The good news of the love of God for Christ, in Christ, for sinners. And Jesus, and this is one of the things we just love about Jesus, he was resolute. He was determined. He wasn't going to let their opinion of him deter him one bit from befriending sinners, loving them, and saving them. He proved that he did not give a rip what they thought of him. Not only by eating with sinners, but ultimately by identifying with sinners to the point of taking their place on the cross, when God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's Jesus' determination to be your friend. Jesus is the best friend we can have because he laid down his life savingly for his friends. He is the selfless friend. Secondly, we've already touched on this. He is the best friend we can have because he is the sharing friend. Just as Anne shared her chocolate with Diana and took great delight in doing it, Jesus takes great delight in sharing what he has with his friends. He said in verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, in the Old Testament, there's only one person who's explicitly called a friend of God, and that was Abraham. Moses, by implication, is called is pictured as a friend of God, because we read that God would speak to Moses face to face at the tent of meeting as a man speaks to his friend. But really, only one person in all the Old Testament is called a friend of God. You see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that everyone who believes in him is now called a friend of God. It's amazing. We who were at enmity with God because of our sins, we're reconciled to God through Jesus, and through Jesus we become God's friends. It's a term of endearment, a term of intimacy, a term of fellowship. A master typically only gives orders to his servants, but a friend brings his friends into his confidence, into his comfortable fellowship, into the intimate details of his life, his hopes, his burdens, his plans. Jesus calls his friends his confidants, with whom he shares all the Father has shared with him. Such is the selfless, abounding love of Jesus Christ. He does not want to keep the loving relationship that he has with the Heavenly Father to himself. He wants to share that with you and me. He knows that the love of God is an infinite love. There's plenty to go around. And he wants us, his friends, to know the love of the Father, which he knows. He wants to share that love with the least and the lost. When I was growing up in Elkin, my best friend was Joseph Mickey. Now, many of you know that I was named after Mickey Mantle. So that was pretty cool that we were best friends. When people would see us coming, they'd say, "Here comes Mickey Mantle." The M&M boys, as we were called. But I can still remember when we were in grade school, we'd get in a little argument, a little scuffle on the playground. Surely you never did that with any of your friends. But I did, Joseph and I did. And we would say what every other kid would say when they were upset with one another, one of their friends. "If you don't stop being mean to me, I am not going to invite you to my birthday party." That was the trump card of all trump cards on the Elkin Elementary School playground. "I'm going to leave you out." We all have that fear, don't we? What is it? FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, FOBLO is even worse, isn't it? Fear of being left out. Fear of being abandoned, forsaken, spurned by a friend. Excluded from the group. We have that fear, and we, some way or another, have had that experience. But Jesus Christ never treats his friends that way. He shares abundantly the life of fellowship that he has with the Father and the Spirit with his friends. The Holy Trinity is not a clique. The Holy Trinity has proven that to us by sending the Son. The coming of the Son to unite you to the Father. And the sending of the Holy Spirit to unite you to the Son in his fellowship with the Father. Christ invites us lovingly into that fellowship. He brings us into that fellowship by His grace, and He always keeps us there. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast away." You have that assurance. He keeps you forever. We have no need to fear that we will be left out by Jesus, for He is steadfast in His selfless, sharing love for His friends. He is the best friend you and I can have, because He is the selfless friend. He is the sharing friend. And finally, He's the sanctifying friend. It's good to have friends like that, that rub off on you in the right kind of way. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And Abraham Kuyper said, "He is your friend who pushes you nearer to God." Jesus is that type of friend who changes his friends for the better. And as God in the flesh, He is the friend who befriends us and brings us right into the heart of God. His life-giving, life-transforming grace, fellowship, and love. And as we abide in our best friend and abide with Him in fellowship, Christ makes us better friends to all those whom God has put in our lives. And really, that's the thrust of this passage, isn't it? If Christ is your best friend, above all others, the one whom you love above all others, the one whose love you desire to experience above all others, the one whom you look to fill your friendship cup above all others, well, you will become, over time, in the fellowship of this best friend, a better friend to your spouse, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your neighbors, and all the people that God places in your life. His friendliness rubs off on us when we spend time with Him, when we walk with Him, talk with Him, listen to Him, commune with Him, worship Him. By His Spirit, He pours out His love into our hearts continually, and it overflows into the lives of others. Jesus said in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now, He's not saying, "Once you get it just right, I'll be your friend." It's not what He's saying. We've already established that Jesus is the friend of sinners, not perfect people. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What is He saying? He's saying that we prove that we are friends of Jesus by fulfilling His command. What is His command? Well, as we have seen already in the Upper Room Discourse, and as we see again in verse 12 and in verse 17, the command of Jesus, this new commandment, as He called it previously, is that we love one another as He has loved us. That's how we prove that we are Jesus' friends, by sharing His love, His friendship with others. Again, He doesn't keep the love He has with the Father and the Spirit to Himself. He shares it. And so if we have that love in us, His love abiding in us, and we're abiding in Him, that love's going to go out from us into the lives of other people. We're going to be intentional about it. It will not happen if we push the spiritual cruise control button and just try to sit back. We have to be intentional. And be sure to note that Jesus is initiating in his friendship with us. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." If Jesus had waited on us to befriend him, we would not have Jesus as a friend. We would be lost in our sins forever. Jesus took the initiative. He came to us. He sought us. He loved us. He took an interest in us long before we took an interest in him. He took an interest in us. Dale Carnegie said, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years of trying to get other people interested in you." Jesus calls us to be like that, taking an interest in others. You say, "Well, that takes time. I'm busy." You think Jesus was busy in his earthly life, and yet you see him constantly? I mean, he's far busier than I am. And I think if you examine your life and read the Gospels, you might see Jesus was very, very busy. Kind of leaves us without excuse. In the busyness of his life, Jesus took time to take an interest in individual people, befriend them, reach out to them in love, in a way that changed them. One interpretation of the fruit in verse 16 is new believers. It does sound a lot like the Great Commission, doesn't it? Go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. In other words, go and make new believers who will abide in the vine of Christ, even as you abide in the vine of Christ. In other words, Jesus is calling us in prayer to the Father and in our own intentionality to make disciples through evangelism and missions by befriending others the way that Christ has befriended us. May we love in that way because he has first loved us. And may each of us know Christ as our very, very best friend. The selfless, sharing, sanctifying friend of sinners. Let's look to him in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for not being ashamed to be our friends. We were lost and lonely, and you came to us, and you loved us. And by your grace, you have made us your friends. We are humbled that the King of Glory would call us his friends. Lord, so fill us with amazement about your friendship and your love that we befriend others the way that you have befriended us. And Lord, set apart the bread and the cup before us for that holy purpose of communicating to us in a fresh way your friendship and your love in such a way that makes us more like you, a friend to those in need, a friend that communicates the very love of God. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.